gorgeous afternoon on a Friday. Welcome in to the Monster of the Midday, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Coming to you from H&A Shooting Sports today. Black Friday going on, and it is going on all weekend, even though we got Saturday and Sunday. Coming up, big deals, 25% off everything from Oakley, 20% off all Browning knives, hats, flashlights, a lot of other accessories. We'll tell you about some of their other great deals in just a moment. This will be a great place to do some of your Christmas shopping, located just off I-40 and Meridian in OKC. You can also check them out online, hhshootingsports.com, and say hi to everybody at the 4U Cafe. Genuinely, I mean this, some awesome food. Great stuff in their bakery, and they'll make some food fresh for you out here. Matt Ravis back in studio. We got a loaded show, as we always do. Joe Bettner's going to join us in just a little over 10 minutes to talk about OU football, the postponement with West Virginia. Also, the news coming out of the basketball program that their first game was postponed the day of, and their second game as well. So what's going on there in the athletic program? How can he quantify that for us a little bit more to know what the future of OU athletics is, at least the near future, because we're getting into sort of this interesting territory, and Ryan Aber wrote about this in the Oklahoman. Craig was telling me about this a little bit earlier, and Matt, you know, I asked you, I think on Wednesday, once it was announced that this game was postponed, I started to think, well, and naturally you start to think this, especially when you cover a team, I cover Oklahoma State, and you think, well, man, what if Iowa State misses a game? What if Texas misses a game? What if Oklahoma misses another game here? Can Oklahoma State get in at 7-2, even though they don't have head-to-head and they don't have a round-robin winning percentage against these other teams? Could they get in at 7-2, where a couple of other teams around them might be 6-2? Is this by winning percentage? And apparently, according to Ryan, we'll ask Joe to confirm this later. I'm not doubting Ryan or anything, but I just haven't seen this yet. Craig told me about it. That they would still go on a head-to-head basis. Have you read this? Is this your understanding? Because I thought I heard earlier in the season, maybe they were talking about, this is when we were talking about the Big Ten season beginning, that it was going to go by winning percentage as far as who was able to jump into that conference championship game. You know anything about this?
We had kind of, I know that for sure we had talked about it ahead of the season because, you know, kind of just you know, back in summer, we're thinking, okay, it's likely, probably, that one of these games is going to get canceled. These teams are probably going to have asymmetrical schedules, and
right.
Winning percentages, to me, to us, was the only logical thing. So I actually don't know 100% for sure. So
okay. We'll ask Joe coming up here in a little bit, and we'll get some kind of definitive information. Marshall Scott's going to join us on our 1 o'clock hour for all you OSU fans. Can the Cowboys run the table and hope for some chaos to still get in? We'll also talk plenty with Marshall because he's going to join us on our OSU pregame show. OU's not playing. We'll be the only game in town. I'll be up in Stillwater tomorrow right across the street from Eskimo Joe's, Joe State tailgate, Bud Light game time. We'll have countdown to kickoff and football feedback for OSU and Texas Tech, and Marshall will be a part of that show. So I'll talk a lot about basketball with him in our 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk about Cade Cunningham's debut, how the Cowboys looked overall in that victory against UT Arlington, which after last season, any win is welcome, but after the hype, might have been a little bit of a letdown for OSU fans. And then Kelly Hines, one of my favorites. Kelly's going to join us in our 1 o'clock hour as well. When I got her on the show last week, I said, you know, even if they don't play, because that's the thing that's been notorious for Tulsa this year. They have all kinds of postponements. I think it's up to 5 games now, including this week, where things have been moved around for them. Even if there's not a game, there will be plenty to talk about, and there will be with Kelly Hines, this magical run that the Golden Hurricane have been on this season. So all you Tulsa fans, be sure to join us in our 1 o'clock hour. I'm behind by about a play, I figured out. Matt Meyer was telling me about a touchdown when I'm looking at, you know, 1st and 10 from the 35, and then 40 seconds later, I see a touchdown. Matt Meyer had already seen it. So, Matt, you'll have to keep us up to speed on everything that's going on in the Iowa State game. The last I saw, a 4th and goal from the Texas 8, so I'm assuming that Iowa State's about to attempt a field goal. This one, midway through the second quarter, Texas leading Iowa State 13-7. Now it updates on my computer 13-10.
Indeed.
So, Connor Osley kicks a a 26-yard field goal, and it's 13-10, Texas and Iowa State. So a terrific game there midway through the second quarter. Who should... Do you know who OU and OSU should be cheering for in this game? It's a little bit difficult to figure out.
I'm pretty sure you should be cheering for Iowa State. I think you want to be rooting for Texas to lose, just on principle anyway. But also, I think that's how. Yeah. I think that's how it shakes out.
Yeah, if OU, I think the only way they would cheer for Texas is if the win would mean that OU would play in the Final Four.
I mean, extreme circumstances. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And even then, probably couldn't watch the game and cheer. Would have to wait and hear afterwards. So you just have one feeling of relief that that Texas won a football game. I don't know. There's still a lot that can happen. Texas has to go to Manhattan to play Kansas State. I don't like them. Nobody does. But weird things can happen up there. Especially Kansas State controls the football and Texas turns the ball over. Iowa State still has a game against West Virginia on their schedule, so some strangeness can still happen the rest of the year. Do you have any idea? Joe's going to talk about this a little bit later on. When you and I were on Wednesday, we're doing scores and everything for OU and West Virginia, and found out later that day that they weren't going to play. The basketball team, remember, we talked about the game that was coming up that night, and during the show, we found out that the game was going to be postponed. Not only that game, but the second game of the season. So, I mean, is this related at all? Is there... do we know if there's like a campus-wide, not like a mini outbreak among the athletic department, or is it just a few isolated cases with each team that prohibited them from playing? You have any idea?
I don't have, you know, total intel onto this, but just guessing, I would guess it's a campus-wide problem. The women's basketball team, I think, too, shut down activities. So
okay.
It's just really bad in Norman and all college towns right now, but... and by the way, we are still going to be giving away or doing the score prediction. The score for Ford, sponsored by Bud Light Seltzer. It will just be for that OU West Virginia game on December 12th.
December 12th. Okay, so we'll move that around a little bit. Okay, let's while we have some time here before Joe comes on, talks a little bit more about what's going on with OU. Let's talk about the NFL games yesterday. There are a lot of Cowboys fans around here regionally, and also because of their long-term success that they had. A lot of people jumped on there, and I don't blame them. Things haven't been going very good for the Cowboys in recent memory, and this season is as bad as they come. The injury to Prescott, the underperformance in the meantime, and now a devastating loss to the Washington football team yesterday afternoon. Close game going into the fourth. Score doesn't really indicate how lopsided this was, because Washington scores a couple of touchdowns within the span of about 20 seconds to make it look bad. But it did look bad at the end, and there were a couple of questionable coaching decisions, so much so that, Matt, everybody's watching the game. It's a national holiday, and everybody who's ever watched football can relate to what the hell are they doing there with the fake punt. You know, everybody can relate to that, and that's why there's so much fury, not only, you know, among the people that are intensely invested in the team and what they do, but everybody was like, what is going on here? So a couple of horrible decisions by the Cowboys. Even in hindsight, if those things work out, you go, man, they got away with that one. I think we can honestly say that if both of those things work, man, what do they do? Well, you know, at least it worked. But this was really bad, the result and how they got there.
It was really, really bad for the Cowboys. Have you ever seen the movie Little Giants? Surely you have, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's classic. I think a lot of people have seen that one. There's a play in that movie called The Annexation of Puerto Rico, where it's a trick play. This is how bad it was for the Cowboys yesterday. They got that play ran against them by the Washington football team, a team that doesn't even have a name right now, Gideon. They're using trick plays from a kids movie, basically, against the Cowboys. That's how bad it was for Dallas yesterday.
And Washington, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing them get to the playoffs. Alex Smith and Ron Rivera. I mean,
and Antonio Gibson, their running back, is really, really good.
Yeah,
he was somebody some fantasy football people I tabbed earlier in the season. Took him a little bit to get going, but that kid's talented.
Yeah, no, he was excellent, especially because they couldn't run the ball early. I just mean there's some feel good stories with Smith and Rivera going through his treatment.
So I
wouldn't mind seeing them in the playoffs, even though I think, you know, their schedule the rest of the way probably doesn't lead to that, but they've got just about as good a chance as any. Technically, percentage-wise, they're in the lead now. Philadelphia has a difficult game coming up this weekend, so who knows? But and that might be the reason that Dallas stays in this. So you see the score, you see how they got there, and instantly, as a Cowboys fan, I asked Matt Meyer this earlier, who still is one, after everything
lucky him.
Everything that he has been through. So you can't fault the man's commitment.
No, that's absolutely right.
I said the thing that you're thinking when it turns 34-16 is draft pick.
Yeah.
especially when you look around the landscape of the NFL, and you're close to a top five pick, somebody who can be, if you hit it right, a transformative player. That's probably putting a little bit too much faith in Jerry Jones, but still. They're so close. The NFC East is so bad that if they do have a Minnesota game where it's a result that we don't expect, if they do have one of those games and win a couple of their divisional games, then they would be right there again. And Matt said, as strange or unlikely as this sounds, based on the way that they played not only yesterday and all through the season, I think you still have to go out and go after the playoffs. What do you think? Somebody who's removed from the situation.
I'm certainly not a Cowboys fan, and also maybe some context here too. The NBA is my wheelhouse. Love the NBA, I'm kind of thinking go tank mode, because you know you make it to the playoffs. What's your reward? You get a home game. That's pretty cool in the playoffs, and you're going to get absolutely drubbed by whoever you play. You're going to have some really really good competition there. So I would almost rather go for the draft pick.
Yeah,
because then there's some things you can do. You can trade down out of it. You get rid of a bad contract. And even if you want to be a contender next year, even if you don't want that rookie, that gives you a little bit of maneuverability.
And the cynical among us would say, hey, they go out there and try the rest of the season. They still might, you know, get a top five pick. That might be the way it works out. That might be where they are talent-wise this season.
I have a question for you, Gideon. What do you do about Zeke Elliott? He is just, like, awful this season. He has had one run of only 20-plus yards, Gideon, and it ended up in a fumble this season. I mean, it's just been awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's never been, with the exception of maybe early in his career, he's never been a big chunk guy. He's a guy that can get you eight or nine yards at a time when he's really rolling. You know what I mean? He's never been a guy that's going to break the big play since early in his career. So he's not that type of guy. But he's not horrible. Yeah, he's not horrible the way that he has been at times during this season. He hasn't disappeared the way that he has this season. So I don't know what you can do because of the contract that he got. There aren't a lot of options there unless you just bide your time, wait for Prescott to come back, wait for the offense to open up a little bit. You have to address your issues on the offensive line, and that's part of it, too. You can't put this all on Zeke. It's not like he got the bag and then he quit. Part of it is guys up front. So if you can address those in the offseason, if he's still not doing anything, then that's an issue.
Well, we've seen that from Zeke. If you get him an elite offensive line, he's going to lead the league in rushing. If you get him a below average defensive line, this is what you get.
Oh, wow. Oh, Matt, that hurts.
I think that's the real Zeke.
I hope he's not listening right now. I hope he's not. Actually, I hope he is.
He's probably on a boat in Cabo or something somewhere. That's what Zeke does.
Maybe he'll call in. Texas on top of Iowa State, 13-10. 6 minutes left to go in the first half. Texas does have the ball right around midfield from what I'm seeing. Iowa and Nebraska also playing each other. Notre Dame, North Carolina later this afternoon. Oregon, Oregon State tonight. We'll continue to keep you up to speed on the Iowa State-Texas game as it is in the Big 12. Does have conference championship implications. Joe Bettner is going to talk some Big 12 football with us when we come back. Joe does a great job covering the Oklahoma Sooners for the Norman Transcript. I'm hanging out today And one of my favorite spots, been out here many, many times, at H&H Shooting Sports, located just off I-40 and Meridian in OKC. It's their Black Friday sales event. Anything you can think of in the world of the outdoors, they will have it here. And if you can't get out today, maybe you're on your lunch break right now, but you got to go back to work, Black Friday is going on all weekend long. They'll have it Saturday and Sunday, open at 10 each day, 25% off everything from Oakley, 15% off all Bulldog concealed carry purses during this big sales event that they're going on, and just a lot more deals. You'll have to come out and see it all here at H&H Shooting Sports. If you can't make it out this weekend, you're concerned about the pandemic, whatever the case may be, you can also do your shopping online. That's hhshootingsports.com. If you do come out here, do yourself a favor and go to the 4U Cafe. Great food out here, too. Gideon Hamilton in for Mark and Dusty today. Big show, OU, OSU, NBA. We'll even talk some Tulsa football later on in the program. You're listening to the Monsters of the Midday, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
Score for a four.
Sports Animal, thanks for joining us on a Friday. Hope all of you had a very, very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Big show for you today. Plenty to talk about here at H&H Shooting Sports. Come out and see us. Black Friday sale going on all weekend long, not just today. We'll get it off I-40 Meridian, OKC. We'll tell you about some of the great deals coming up here in just a minute. Right now, we do want to welcome in our friend Joe Bettner. Does a great job covering Sooner Athletics for the Norman Transcript. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Saw online that you ate well yesterday?
Probably a little bit too well, but you know, okay. we're hanging in there.
I didn't happen to see the transcript the last couple of days. Was there just a big all-caps 72-point font outbreak on there? Or what exactly is going on? Are these just a few isolated cases within the athletics department, or is this campus-wide? The thing is, and the reason why I ask that is it just seemed like a bunch of news came out about the athletic department within the span of a couple hours, so it just sort of felt overwhelming. So what exactly is going on with the caseload there?
I was going to say, to lift the veil for a second, I mean, our Thursday newspaper that comes out, we have to get that done by 11 a.m. on Wednesday. So
okay.
this thing doesn't drop until, I think, around 2 o'clock on Wednesday, a little bit later in the day. And what a just poor timing, just as far as just, like, getting all that news out, and happened pretty quickly after the men's basketball canceled with their cases, which is strange because, you know, we talked to Lon Kruger, Brady Manick, Austin Reeves on Monday. Things seem to be going good. Lon mentions the fact that, you know, this is a thing that can happen. You hope it doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, men's basketball is canceling. OU football comes out with their cancellation. And it seems like it would appear to be, and those are, obviously, I guess wrestling would be in season. But there's not many sports other than those two going on right now. So it seems like, I don't know if it's isolated to just like the men's side of the athletic department, but the women's basketball team played their season opener without any problems, but then they canceled their trip to South Dakota because of contact tracing. And I would assume that comes from the rapid test that the men took on Wednesday morning, the men's basketball team took. So it's a little bit of a tough time for OU. And honestly, I mean, you know, they've had so much success playing games this season. The fact that the OU football team hasn't had a cancellation until now is honestly somewhat impressive, just that they've been able to kind of weather this. They've kind of been the model for success as far as like combating coronavirus. They've done a really good job of it. Lincoln has said there have been times where they could have canceled and they didn't. So, you know, this is obviously a much bigger deal, and, you know, it's kind of up in the air whether that Baylor game is going to get played. And if that's, you know, the case, then, you know, OU's in a little bit of trouble. Obviously, men's basketball has a lot of time to make up their games.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting time for the athletic department.
Well, you led me right into question number two. And one of your colleagues, when it comes to covering Oklahoma football, Ryan Aber, for the Oklahoman, apparently Craig told me that Ryan had put out there that word that he had received is that look, once you saw OU not playing, then you start to do the math. Well, what if one of these teams misses one of these games later on in the year? Does a 7-2 team get in over a 6-2 team? Do they go by winning percentage? And apparently he was under the impression that they still go into a head-to-head or a round-robin head-to-head if it's more than a couple of teams there. Do you know about this? Do you know what the league mandate is in terms of, because I thought at the beginning of the year, due to some conversations that we had regarding what the Big Ten's process was, that it was just by winning percentage. What's the story here? Because you talked about it, that might start to make OU fans nervous.
I don't think OU fans should be quite nervous yet. Jason Kersey of The Athletic tweeted this the other day. He pointed out, I want to give him the credit for bringing this up, but it shouldn't affect Oklahoma if one of their games is canceled, if the West Virginia game is canceled. I think the Baylor game would be a different story, but for right now, OU, I think, is in good shape because with the average number of conference games played by all conference teams being what it is right now, there hasn't been enough for it to, I guess, bring down that average. Oklahoma would be fine because they would only have played one less fewer games than what the conference average is. So they would be good. And as long as they get that Baylor game in, I'm pretty certain that they'll be fine and they can still qualify for the Big 12 championship game. Obviously, this is a situation where we assumed on Monday that things were good because the athletic department releases these numbers every week. And there had seemed to only be 8 active cases throughout all sports in the athletic department. Obviously, they test Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Wednesday, those tests come back, and there's obviously a huge outbreak where they didn't think they could get back to it. Now, that could be a very different case next week as far as, like, guys that maybe are getting out of that COVID protocol, out of that contact tracing protocol. Could be a lot different, but I think as for right now, there's not much reason to worry as long as they play that Baylor game.
Okay, gotcha. Joe Bettner is our guest, does a great job covering Sooner Athletics for the Norman Transcript. So OU's first two basketball games have been postponed. Their next game is against Florida. You know this, there was a lot of excitement around the arrival of Cade Cunningham for Oklahoma State. They played in that game the afternoon, and even though it was going to be interesting to watch OU play later on that night, they were sort of the secondary story, at least statewide. But I still am sort of intrigued by them. I know they're not going to contend for a conference championship in what is one of the most stacked conferences in all of college basketball, but I think they should still be pretty interesting to watch once they finally do take the court this year, Joe.
I totally agree with you. OU men's basketball is not going to win a conference title. Baylor and Kansas are way too good for that to happen. But I don't think it's unreasonable to think that this is a team that could finish top four. They finished with the third seed last season. I think if things get weird, especially with how teams are able to, or what they're able to put out on the floor, I think Oklahoma, and I thought going into the season that they wouldn't be much of an issue as far as, like, guys going out and doing, you know, things that they shouldn't be doing as far as, you know, things that could expose you to COVID, just having such a veteran, you know, squad. But, you know, they have these, I don't know, you know, you don't know what happens with, like, these first two, with this, like, first round of, like, cancellations, but it's still, like, you would think that this is going to be a very disciplined Lon Kruger program. I don't think you have to worry about him, things getting out of control. But I like their upside, especially with Mo Gibson, the North Texas transfer, getting immediately eligible. The starting lineup, I don't know how quickly he'll be in the starting lineup, but I know it was projected to be like Alondis Williams, Davion Harmon, and Austin Reeves in the backcourt. But they've got a good team. As long as Austin Reeves and Brady Manick kind of pick up where they left off from last season, I think they'll be fine. They have to figure out their front court situation because Kirk West is going to be thrusted into a bigger role this season. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy. He's going to be going up against some very physical centers and power forwards in this league. And so they've got to figure out somewhat of a, I think Lon Kruger has got to get creative with how he uses that 4 and that 5 spot. But I think that Oklahoma can be a team that, you know, I don't think any Big 12 team is going to be able to take them lightly or, you know, take the night off when they come up against OU.
Joe Bettner's our guest from the Norman Transcript, covers the Oklahoma Sooners. How much of a logistical minefield are winter sports going to be? When we talked to Scott Wright the other day, he mentioned wrestling might be, whittled down to a 1 week one meet a week, and they might only be able to compete once a week, and I might have to do two duels on the same day. This, Joe, even with what we've seen out of basketball with these first two postponements, it's going to be something where a lot of times you won't know the day of whether something's happening or not here, and it really spans across all winter sports.
Yeah, I tried to ask Lon about that on Monday, and I didn't really get the answer I was particularly looking for as far as just like the detailed version of it. But honestly, yep. I don't know if he really even knows what this looks like, how it's going to look until they really get out there and do it. Because I would imagine that there are several, you know, people within each, you know, team trying to figure out these things. And it is a logistical nightmare as far as what they're going up against. I as a wrestling guy, I would not be opposed to try duels. That would be awesome if they could figure out a way to make that work as far as how the COVID testing happens, like on the day of like a meet. I think it's going to be really interesting these next few weeks to see when that wrestling schedule drops, how it looks. Wouldn't be surprised if it comes out with, teams having to play each other, you know, or teams having to wrestle against, you know, multiple teams in a day, which wouldn't be, you know, the worst thing in the world, the most physically taxing thing in the world, but probably not something those guys have done since high school. But it's going to be this winter, I think, is just it's the football season, as good as it's gone. I think OU fans, OSU fans are going to have to adjust maybe their expectation that there are going to be a lot more cancellations than maybe they're accustomed to.
Yep.
Because, I mean, OSU fans, I guess, have kind of gotten the bad end of the stick as far as like that October where it felt like they didn't play a game. But I think it's going to probably happen with more regularity, and that's just going to come with the fact that, you know, the state isn't doing so great with numbers. They could be cases continue to keep spiking, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. And so, hopefully it gets under control with, you know, I don't know what has to happen, but you would hope it gets under control.
Right. We'll circle around back to where we started. You and I haven't spoken since it might have been around OU Texas, but obviously we haven't talked since Bedlam. And a lot of things have changed since then for the OU football program. You have Ramondre Stevenson and Ronnie Perkins back in the lineup. That's going to change the fortunes of any college football team when you have two of your best players, one on either side of the ball, guys that can transform the way that you perform, getting back out onto the field. But what has it just been that? Has it just been having some difficult games behind them in the rearview mirror, or things starting to come together for Oklahoma, who's viewed now as the front runner to win the Big 12 championship?
I mean, I really think it's just a matter, and it just seems so simple, but I mean, you insert Ronnie Perkins into that lineup, you insert Ramondre Stevenson into that lineup, and I think that this Oklahoma team is just so much better. I think obviously experience comes into play, because I think that Spencer Rattler needed those early games to kind of find himself as a quarterback, and he's looking more and more like a veteran. He's looking more and more poised in the pocket, and you like what you see there. But I think that, you know, those were two tough games I think for Oklahoma to start off with, and they were going to have a difficult beginning to the Big 12 play, regardless of the schedule change. I mean, I think it was like Iowa State, Texas, Oklahoma State were like their first three conference games, but it was always going to be tough. And I think that they kind of took their lumps and you kind of move on from it. But I think you're really seeing why Ronnie Perkins was so valued by this football mm-hmm. program, that they tried to get him a special waiver to get reinstated quicker than what Ramondre Stevenson went through. And obviously they would have loved Ramondre early in the season. And that's no offense to TJ Pledger or Seth McGowan, but Ramondre is just a different back. And you can see that on the field. I mean, he's just, there's few running backs that look like him, and there's few defensive ends in the Big 12 that look like Ronnie Perkins. And so those guys are just kind of, you know, the cliche, but they're X factors, and you need those guys. That's why you recruited at a high level, and why OU brings those guys in. So it's really turned around. And I mean, this is as good as I think OU's looked in a long time as far as just defensively. I'm not sure offensively they're quite on the level of that 2018-2017 level yet, but I mean, Spencer Rattler, I think, is on his way there.
Yeah, could be ready to roll the rest of the way. A couple of stumbling blocks ahead. We'll see how they deal with those, and certainly have to get their health under control, at least at this moment. That's the biggest challenge for not only the football team, but the athletic department as a whole. Joe, we always appreciate the time, and I appreciate you giving me some content for my latest article, Lon Kruger Vigorously Stonewalls Local Reporter. So I'll be working on that the last next couple of days.
That's just Lon. I don't want to disparage him, but he's just the nicest guy, and I don't want to get that twisted.
No, of course not. Joe, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me again, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe Bettner there from the Norman Transcript. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in college football today. We've got Iowa State and Texas playing this one, closing seconds of the first half, and we'll get a score update there. I know Matt Ravis has been keeping an eye on this one. Also, some college basketball going on earlier today. Gonzaga, number one ranked team in the country. Their game just about to go final, so we'll let you know there. A couple of Big 12 teams in action, so we got a lot to keep tabs on here today. I'm having a great time at H&H Shooting Sports here, just off I-40 Meridian in OKC. Check them out online as well, hhshootingsports.com. If you're looking for a new knife, Knife Pro Shop over here has knives from industry leaders like Benchmade, Spyderco, Kershaw, a lot more. They've got a bunch of lanes that you can use. You want to just come out here and shoot. But the main thing about this weekend is their awesome deals. They got 25% off everything from Oakley, 20% off all Browning knives, hats, flashlights, a lot of other accessories. So come out here, take advantage of some of these great deals. H&H Shooting Sports, I-40 Meridian in OKC. Gideon Hamilton in for Mark and Dusty today. We'll continue talking sports with you. On the other side, you're listening to 98.1 FM, WWLS Sports Animal. This weekend, not only today, but Saturday and Sunday as well. Come out here, find that perfect Christmas gift for the outdoorsman or the outdoorswoman in your life. Gideon Hamilton here with you today, and for Mark and Dusty for the final time. Those guys will be back around next week. Got exciting college football action for you tomorrow that you can hear here on WWLS, the Sports Animal. We'll have countdown to kickoff and football feedback for OSU and West Virginia. Things will start bright and early, 9 o'clock for countdown to kickoff, 11 o'clock for kickoff of that game between the Cowboys and the Red Raiders. They'll be with you taking your phone calls immediately following for football feedback. I imagine unsportsmanlike conduct a part of tomorrow as well as an early wake-up call for those guys once again. Got a lot of stuff to get into, so we are at halftime of the Texas-Iowa State game. Not a lot going on there in the second quarter. Combined 3 points between the two, though, is when Iowa State got deep in Texas territory. Had to settle for a field goal. The Longhorns up 13-10 over Iowa State. And that would create a big logjam with a bunch of teams, two losses, if the Longhorns were to go on and win that game. Iowa State missed a field goal as time expired to go into halftime to try to tie that game, but still a lot of time left for either team to do something here. Brock Purdy, 14-23, 146, and a touchdown. Iowa on top of Nebraska, 10-0. That the only other game that features a ranked team, Iowa at 3-2. Notre Dame, North Carolina do battle a little bit later on tonight. Oregon goes to Oregon State. That'd be a game for Sooner fans to watch. Oregon, one of those few teams I think is behind OU in the standings that could, if they win out, jump the Sooners there. So we talked a lot Wednesday about being really excited to see the Oklahoma State Cowboys play their first basketball game as the Cade Cunningham debut. And we know that expectations are tempered a little bit because guys don't score as much in college basketball. It's the nature of the game. And also, it's the first game out there with a lot of new faces. Cade still goes for 21-10, did turn the ball over 5 times, but wanted to get your first impressions, Matt, watching the game and seeing Cade Cunningham play along with some really other talented players. And you know those guys are going to get marginalized as the season goes on. We'll try to hype them up as much as we can when we see them doing something good. But that's what the Oklahoma State story is going to be, is this player that could potentially be drafted a top three in the NBA draft. So what'd you think of Cade? What'd you think of OSU?
He lived up to expectations, at least for me. Jumbo guard, and the way that he moves, the way that he plays the game, is very much like a guard who's only 6'2", 6'3", but he's you know, he's every bit of 6'6", 6'7". I like that. And OSU, man, Jim said this. I totally agree, Gideon. They look like a different team. The length that they have out there on the floor, the height, they just look like a totally different team than last year. I can see why Coach Boynton was excited.
the shooting needs to improve across the board. Now, they're able to get to the rim a lot more effectively than they have in years past, even without a true post presence. And I know Caleb Boone is a guy that's going to be around the rim, is going to be able to score around the rim. And obviously, Cunningham and Likely are going to be able to get to the basket most of when they want to. But when you go 7-25, that brought back some bad memories of the last, 20 years of Cowboy basketball.
Yeah.
Not being able to shoot the three, and free throw line is devastating for Moncrief to go 1-7, and Likely we know has problems there, 2-5, especially in clutch situations when games get a little bit closer. So, this is the goal for all basketball teams. Execution is going to have to be a lot better, especially when you do talk about guys that can draw attention going to the basket. Guys are going to get open shots this year, and you got to make them, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That's basketball in a nutshell, is making shots. And I think a lot of that early on was them pressing. I think it was a lot of jitters for their first game because I think they started, 0-9, 0-10 from 3-point range. And, after they, reeled in the shot selection a little bit, stopped forcing it so much, that's when they shot a little bit better. So I attribute that to just some jitters probably.
Yeah, 13 assists, 18 turnovers. That's not going to work either against teams other than UT Arlington, who had a couple of decent players, and that's pretty much it. But Cowboys open their season with the win. That's the main thing, 75-68, and they are back in action again, scheduled to be anyway tomorrow. So looking forward to see the Cowboys take the court again. It's going to be a while before we see the Sooners on the hardwoods. Their first two games, Matt Ravis told us this on Wednesday, have been postponed, and scheduled to see them in their first game against the University of Florida. So that'll be fun. Kansas taking on Gonzaga yesterday. That was a really fun game. I still think Kansas is going to be an excellent team, even though defensively I think a lot of teams are going to have issues with Gonzaga this year. West Virginia is in one of these preseason tournaments where they just dominated the class yesterday in that win. They're already in action again today, up 12-11 on Western Kentucky. That one just about 6-7 minutes into the game. Illinois, I know OSU fans don't like seeing this, but they are absolutely rolling right now, top 10 team in the country, and they've won each of their first two games by 55 or more. Right now they're locked in what is an equivalent of a dogfight for them. This one's tied, a minute left to go in the first half with Ohio, who also won their first couple of games of that tournament. So some interesting storylines to follow here very early in college basketball. Most of the time it's going to be who is playing. And today we've got some Big 12 teams. Texas Tech, for instance, is going to tip off here in about 12 minutes or so. Kansas is also going to play this afternoon. That Tech game, by the way, is on ESPN2. Kansas is going to play St. Joe's on FS1. If you're looking to watch some basketball a little bit later on, I love Garza for Iowa. I love seeing numbers like that. They're going to be on Big Ten Network a little bit later on today. That guy's a monster, and the draft is so loaded that a lot of people think he's not going to go till the second round. So a lot of great college basketball action. Anything stand out to you from the first couple of days?
Really quick about the Garza kid, I've been kind of surprised that he hasn't gotten more NBA attention, being a 7-footer, being kind of skilled, shoot the ball a little bit. That seems to be what everyone's looking for in the NBA. So that's a little bit surprising to me. How about the team with, I think Gideon is the best nickname in all of college basketball, the San Francisco Dons? They beat Virginia 61-60.
Yes, that's right.
Beat number 4 Virginia. So that was a big upset earlier today.
Yeah. No question about that. No, Virginia, defending national champion, as I like to call them, Matt, because technically it's
true.
But they're not going to be quite to the level that they were certainly two seasons ago, and I don't even think last year as well, due to some departures. But yeah, that's a tremendous win for San Francisco, a program that hasn't been on the rise in a long, long time, and not saying it is going to be this year either, but that's a really nice win to have under their belt, even early in the season if Virginia does have a disappointing campaign. Your thoughts, we talked a lot about that Dallas game earlier, Detroit and Houston. Houston's schedule has turned around. I think they're still playing consistently. They just had a really, really difficult road the first 5 or 6 games extended. Now that the schedule has turned their way, they've been able to take advantage of that. I don't know if they're going to be able to get in the postseason, but it just kind of shows you the when you look at a schedule like that, and then you look and see who the Browns have played this year, for instance, and it's not necessarily always a fair game, but you have to do the most with what you have in front of you, and Houston probably needed one or two more at the beginning of the season. I have a feeling they're going to be left behind here, Matt.
It seems that way, man. Deshaun Watson, it doesn't matter how bad that they looked at points in time. He has looked very, very good at all points this season. He's so good. And I wonder, speaking about the other side of the things with the Lions, when are people going to start admitting that Matt Patricia is just not a good football coach, Gideon? Just don't think he's a very good coach.
Yeah. Is he going to be gone at the end of the year? I mean, is that sort of the consensus around the league? Or
any other year, I'd probably say for sure.
Yeah,
I still think his seat is pretty hot. They've lost four straight Thanksgiving games. And not that that's the end all be all, but those are the
Detroit game is usually the game that you pretend to be interested in, just so sure. You want to have the awkward conversations with family members that you don't intensely care about or. or are not getting along with, or, you know, you go and you wander around the TV. Oh, okay, what's going on here, even though you haven't given a damn about what the Lions have done in 30 years or something like that. So that's kind of what the Lions on Thanksgiving is for everybody. It's a placeholder. But the fact that they aren't relevant and haven't been since Calvin Johnson played there a little bit. That kind of says it all. Somebody needs to come in and sort of change the culture for Lions football. It's not Matt Patricia. And what do we think about Matthew Stafford? I mean, was he made by Megatron, or is he a guy that's obviously talented, just doesn't have a lot around him right now, or is it time to maybe look at something else there?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to figure out because there's been stretches like last year before he got hurt, he was playing MVP football. I mean, he was playing really, really well, just about as good as any quarterback in the NFL, not named Mahomes. And he's had stretches like that, and he's had stretches where he's just completely average. It's hard to say when, you know, we just talked about the organization and how bad they've been. It's tough to say, but you can't put him in that same tier as some of the top, you know, some of the top quarterbacks.
Right, yeah. Which... it's easy for me to say it's time to move on from a guy that has a lot of arm talent and a guy that has been good at points in his career. The thing for me personally, I don't know how everybody else feels about it. Just seems like he's been there for 20 years.
Oh yeah.
Without doing anything. And so I don't know if the being a little bit more involved, being a Lions fan, which I'm sure there's a few around the area. I don't know if that's a little bit different or maybe feel a little bit like that too.
With him, it's kind of like empty calories. You know, he puts up crazy numbers every single year, but it just doesn't amount to much of anything, really.
Yeah. What do you like? That Titans Colts game, it's an important game. I think it should be pretty good too. And Cardinals and Patriots could be a decent game. Ravens
Steelers. Yeah, I can't wait for that one, Gideon. That's going to be awesome.
Are you like me? I can't imagine they play this game.
It doesn't look that.
And Craig's like, well, maybe they did this a time or two earlier in the season where they moved something to Monday or Tuesday, just to give team. There's too many guys that have it there. There's way too many guys.
Yep.
If it were six or seven, I'd say I don't know if they're going to play it. Now it's what, 12? I can't imagine they play this game, and that'd be horrible for competitive balance anyway. The Ravens have a chance to make the playoffs. This isn't fair.
So was it it was like a coach on the Ravens, I think, that messed up, right? And they declined to name who it was, but someone broke the protocols, and I'm guessing that was the origin of this outbreak.
Okay.
It sucks to be on the Steelers, man, because you feel like you've gotten screwed over. You accommodate the Titans when they had their issue and they weren't necessarily adhering to protocols either. And then, you know, this week, if this game doesn't happen, they don't get paid. So it's like you're going to miss out on a game check for something that's not even, you know, in your control.
Not your fault. Yeah, you're right. Chiefs and Bucks, any thoughts on that one? That'll be the marquee game a little bit later in the day. The night games, Bears and Packers, and then Seahawks and Eagles. I think that'll be a pretty good game on Monday night. But what do you think about KC and Tampa?
what are the odds that Tom Brady ends up shaking Patrick Mahomes' hand after the game? They're pretty high, but they're not 100%, because last week he didn't shake Jared Goff's hand after he beat him. The Bucs have problems, man. They've got serious problems. Tom Brady leads the league in air yards, meaning that he's trying to air it out downfield, but he's not completing anything downfield. So they're trying, that offense is trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, I would, even though that game's in Tampa, Kansas City is a 3.5-point favorite. Just the way the two teams are playing now, that'd be a big win for the Bucs if they were to get it. And then you could change the story to remember the way they played against Green Bay. Man, when they are firing on all cylinders, they can beat anybody. And that'll be the story going into the playoffs. Never underestimate Tom Brady. Remember what he did against Green Bay and Kansas City, even though a lot of that had to do with the defense. I'm sure Sunday's game would as well if they were to win that game. If they lose to the Chiefs, it'll be, hey, whenever they play anybody good except for Green Bay, they lose. And so that's this game will really dictate what the perception of Tampa Bay and probably should later on in the year. Okay, coming up next, Marshall Scott from Pistols Firing is going to join us to talk some OSU sports, not only the game tomorrow, but also Cade Cunningham and his teammates, their debut the other day in Oklahoma State's season-opening victory on the hardwood. What was his take on a potential lottery pick for the Cowboys? Then also a little bit later on our 1 o'clock hour, Kelly Hines from the Tulsa World will join us to talk about this incredible, amazing season that the Golden Hurricanes have had on the field this year. Gideon Hamilton out here at H&H Shooting Sports. If you can't come out here this weekend to enjoy their Black Friday sales, go on online, hhshootingsports.com. You'll find all their deals there. But this is going on in store this weekend, not today, but also not only today, but also Saturday and Sunday. A lot of people out here looking for that perfect Christmas gift or just looking for a fantastic bargain. Take 25% off everything from Oakley, 20% off all Browning knives, hats, flashlights, and other accessories, and too many more to mention. So come out here, have fun with us at H&H Shooting Sports, South OKC, just off 540 and Meridian. Gideon Hamilton in for Mark and Dusty. You're listening to Monsters of the Midday on the Sports Animal.
Sports Animals.
Thanks for joining us on this Friday. Hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving. H&H Shooting Sports, the place, and this is the time to come here. Black Friday sales going on not only today, Saturday, Sunday as well. We told you about these throughout the show. We'll tell you a little bit more later on, give you some reminders about some of these other great deals that we mentioned. Also, you can go online, hhshootingsports.com, but then you wouldn't be able to enjoy the great food at the 4U Cafe. So that's one of the benefits, one of the perks to come out here to H&H Shooting Sports South OKC. It is time for Score for a Four. One of our lucky listeners could be driving away in a new Ford F-250, and here to take a shot at this is going to be Darren, who has his score prediction. Now, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer, and this one might be a little bit trickier now since they're playing late in the season, but Darren, we know you're going to take a shot here at the score between Oklahoma and West Virginia. What do you got?
Well, let's take the Sooners at 48 and the Mountaineers at 17.
48-17, so a big win for Oklahoma. Darren, good luck, man.
Thank you.
All right, Darren there with a big spread between Oklahoma and West Virginia. Oklahoma 48, West Virginia 17. All right, looking forward to spending some time here with our next guest. Does a great job covering Oklahoma State Athletics for Pistols Firing, Marshall Scott, who has been nice enough to offer his time on our football pregame shows this year for Oklahoma State. And we'll get into Cowboy football a little bit later in the show, but primarily wanted to visit about some basketball, some other things with Marshall. Marshall, how are you doing, man? How was your Thanksgiving?
I'm good. It was good. We had a little small get together with the current times. I was in charge of the ham for the first time in my life, so it went good, not great.
Did you get a thumbs up, thumbs down, or kind of a sideways?
You know, I think given there were low expectations coming in, so I think we exceeded those, but it still wasn't, you know, anything to write home about.
All right, excellent. Hey man, what were your initial thoughts on what we saw at Oklahoma State's basketball team? Execution has to improve. Free throw line was abysmal. 3-point shots earlier on, you know, give you flashbacks to basically every Oklahoma State basketball team that you've ever watched. But I thought with as many attacking guards as they have, and guys that can finish, it at least led to a sense of optimism. And I'll ask you specifically about Cunningham here in a little bit, but team-wide, what'd you think about the first performance for these guys? And keeping in mind, it is going to take a while for them to sort of gel together.
Yeah, it was definitely sloppy for sure. You know, the 18 turnovers, that's just not inexcusable, but you don't expect that coming in from the good guard play that Oklahoma State has, especially considering UT Arlington, who's a veteran bunch, only had five turnovers themselves. And then you kind of mentioned the free throw line. But then even with all that, I think UT Arlington scored 29 points off turnovers. Even with all of that, Oklahoma State was still able to win. I think if the Cowboys just commit, you know, like 10 turnovers, they might win that game by 20. So definitely areas where you kind of, you know, eke a little bit. But if it gets cleaned up, I think things are definitely headed in the right direction.
Again, outside of Cade, who we'll talk about here in just a little bit, is there somebody, whether it's a newcomer that you're excited about or a returning player that you think could flourish and who's obviously established their game a little bit more coming into this season that you're particularly excited about?
I think Matthew Alexander Moncrief, the Canadian freshman, is probably the obvious answer, but I'm going to go with Keelan Boone. He got limited minutes last season, kind of behind Lindy Waters, Thomas Izagua. But, you know, he's 6'8", he can shoot the three, he can be a really good defender, and he got the start on Saturday, put up 10 points and had 12 rebounds. So I think that as much as Mike Boynton, he's really high on Caleb Boone's potential, who primarily plays center. I think Keelan Boone might have some NBA potential, kind of with that modern 3-and-D type of phrase that you always hear. I think that he could be one of those guys, and he certainly looked a lot better in game one, I guess, than he did last season.
Okay. Everybody probably watched the game for that tuned in outside of that hardcore Oklahoma State fan base, and that is to see a guy who potentially could be a top five NBA draft pick, Cade Cunningham. What did you think of the super freshman's debut?
It was really good. You know, Cade's not I believe the term Mike Boynton used is that he's not a ball-dominant super athlete. So he's not the Trae Young type who's going to go out there and, you know, shoot 30 shots a game or stuff like that. You know, he scored 21 points on 16 shots. He's at his best whenever he can get downhill and kind of get others involved, but he can finish around the rim. And he showed a pretty good shooting touch from three, hitting two of his five three-pointers. So I think it was, you know, there were such grandiose expectations coming in, you know, that it was like anything less than him dropping 40 and having a triple-double was going to be a little bit of a letdown. But I think it was a good first game against a decent UT Arlington team, and it's definitely something to build on.
Yeah, Cowboys win that one 75-68 in their opener. They're back in action on Saturday. By the way, appreciate idea for an article I'm working on. Marshall Scott rips ball hog Trae Young. Thank you very much for that. Just kidding, of course. Let's go ahead and circle around. This conference is going to be really, really difficult to deal with. Nobody's saying Oklahoma State's going to be a favorite now that they have, you know, a couple of electrifying players coming in, but this will be a good measuring stick for some of these guys that are going to stick around the program. But it's tough, especially these early sample size. You know, Kansas is going to be very good. West Virginia is going to be a formidable team. I think Texas Tech is going to be a force to be reckoned with, not only in the conference but nationally. I think they're going to be an exciting team to watch. So this conference is going to be excellent, a lot of fun to watch. Even Oklahoma, I think, is going to offer a lot of resistance this year. They'll be a winning team this season. So this is going to be there's going to be some great basketball to watch, Marshall, when these guys are able to get out on the court.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned all the heavy hitters there. West Virginia, they kind of struggled a little bit out of the gate. They played two games already, but they've got that front court with Derek Culver and Oscar Tshiebwe, who are just might be the biggest two players in the conference, and they play on the same team. So that'll be a lot really exciting. Kansas State's kind of having a down year. OU is kind of old this year, which is, you know, really good for them. There, all those guys have gotten all that experience to this point. And then Kansas, I think they're going to be down for Kansas standards, but definitely up for, you know, the normal basketball team standards. So a lot of fun around the conference. Baylor's, you know, a top five team right now. Texas Tech's supposed to be good. They have a high-level transfer named Matt McClung, who kind of dominated Oklahoma State with Georgetown last year. So it's a tough stretch night in, night out for these Big 12 teams.
Marshall Scott is our guest. Does a great job covering Oklahoma State athletics as well as the rest of the guys from Pistols Firing Blog, Kyle Porter, Kyle Cox, Kyle Boone, and the rest of their crew. You guys do a fantastic job. Love your site. I think it's essential for anybody who's interested in OSU sports across the board. Let's go ahead and get to football a little bit, and we'll talk about some of this stuff tomorrow, Marshall. But I didn't get an opportunity to get your take on the Bedlam game. Obviously, read some of your takes immediately following. But it's going to be a game where if disappointment happens within it, we know it's going to be magnified because of who it's against for Oklahoma State's fan base. And there are things that I think OSU fans can accept even in a loss, even though that's going to be a real drag. But the stuff that everybody can pay attention to is conservative play calling, being flat at the beginning of the game, and then the punt seemed to be a killer. That seemed to make everybody's head spin when that happened in the fourth quarter. I wondered if this was something where everybody was reading a little bit too much into it because of the emotion of the opponent, or you kind of understood where fans were coming from with the frustration after this loss.
Yeah, I definitely understand, I think, where fans are coming from, especially with that punt. You know, you know, it's very unlikely, I guess, that Oklahoma State's going to win that football game, but you have a chance to make it a two-score game, you know, get some onside kicks. Who knows what's going to happen? But to just punt the ball away, and even if you did pin them down at the one, even if they just ran the ball three times and then had to punt the ball back, then you get it with, you know, not enough time to win the game left. Yep. So that was pretty inexcusable. But what you said is correct in regards of, you know, it's OU. Not a lot of teams beat OU. You know, OU spends so much more money on recruiting and all this type of stuff than Oklahoma State does. So they're not, Oklahoma State from the get-go is not supposed to beat OU. That's just kind of how it's not supposed to be. But whenever you have, you know, those kind of play calling, those coaching question marks going in, that definitely magnifies everything.
Any worries for the rest of the year? You think these guys buckle down and win these games that they should the rest of the season, quite honestly? And there's some tricky ones in there, but Texas Tech is coming up, of course, tomorrow with Alan Bowman throwing the ball around. There's a potential speed bump if you don't play the way that you should. But, I mean, Oklahoma State should finish this thing 8-2, at least in the regular season, right, Marshall?
Yeah, you'd think so. I'm not worried about like the mental approach to it. I think that the Cowboys have some good leaders in that locker room that'll get them ready to go. More so, just worried about the injuries of it all. You know, can Charlie Dickey put together an offensive line? You know, with all these freshmen that are seeming to play, can he put together an offensive line that's good enough to protect Spencer Sanders against even pass rushes from Texas Tech and Baylor? So that's kind of the thing that I have the biggest questions about. And Oklahoma State honestly hasn't played very well against Texas Tech the last 2 years. They've lost both games, the Taylor Cornelius game, and then obviously Spencer Sanders, I believe, had four turnovers last year, and then I think they had another fumble, so five turnovers in total, and they almost won that game. But so that'll be interesting. But mentally, I don't think it'll be an issue. I just think physically, maybe if Oklahoma State can get some guys back and they can stay around, you know, they had the guys back against OU, but they were obviously laboring a little bit with Chuba Hubbard limping around and Tevin Jenkins, you know, being subbed out and not returning. So those are the big questions that I have for these next two games.
All right. Oklahoma's own ham honcho, Marshall Scott, soon to be a legend in the field of ham for for Thanksgiving and other elite holiday meals. Marshall, I knew we had to have you on and talk about the basketball game and obviously the premiere of some of those guys. So I appreciate you taking some extra time, and thanks for joining us tomorrow as well. Always great to catch up with you. Keep up the great work on Pistols Firing, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Marshall Scott there. Kelly Hines is going to join us in our next segment, talk a little bit of Tulsa football. Unfortunately, their game postponed again. This is like the fifth time that this has happened with the postponement or a cancellation for Golden Hurricane football. Whenever they do take the field, man, they're a lot of fun to watch. We'll talk to Kelly about that coming up here in just a little bit. Texas Tech, Sam Houston State today. That one's on ESPNU. Tech out to an early 10-2 lead there at the first TV timeout. West Virginia, Marshall mentioned they did have their hands full yesterday. They have them again today. Western Kentucky's up 27-26, about 4 minutes left to go in the first half of that game, in St. Joe's, an early lead on Kansas, 18-14, 12:40 left to go in the first. Ton of time left there. Number 4, University of Virginia, already a loser today against San Francisco. Gonzaga big over Auburn, 90-67. So the Bulldogs continue to pile up points. Illinois has been that team through the first two games, and they are in some trouble today against Ohio. 41-39. Bobcats lead that one with 15 minutes left to go in the second. That has been a completely different planet from Illinois basketball, at least the first two games. We haven't talked about this. OSU and Tech tomorrow. Ravis, this is a game where Oklahoma State plays the level of their competition, as they sometimes do in that building, then they can be a lot of trouble. If they play the way that they can play, they should be able to run the table the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I thought you asked me a really interesting question yesterday, which was basically, will OSU have somewhat of a hangover after last week, or will they? Will this be a spot where they're lifted because of that? You know, a lot of that will come down to mentality, for sure, because if they handle business, I think they're clearly the more talented team on both sides of the ball. So that's just a matter of handling business.
Yeah. Texas and Iowa State, I know you've been keeping an eye on this game. Still 13-10,
yeah.
8:40 left to go in the third. Anything beyond the numbers that we need to know?
Texas driving and Texas scoring. Actually, they just got into the end zone, so they're going to extend that lead to 10 points pending the extra point. Texas with a big throw downfield. It had to be about 30, 40 yards to Brendan Eagles, and it was a great catch for him to set up that red zone score for them.
Eagles with the big day so far. 4 catches, 127, so 31 yards a catch. Ellinger, good numbers, 9 of 13, 199. And the vertical passing game working a little bit more for Texas today. As Matt mentioned, they're about to take maybe a double-digit lead over Iowa State with 8 minutes remaining there in the third quarter. Still a ton of time left, but Texas in a good spot right now, and that would create a massive logjam there at 2 losses, which also creates the opportunity for some more crazy things to happen in conference. Coming up next, our good friend Kelly Hines will join us from the Tulsa World, talk some Tulsa Golden Hurricane football, the forgotten team in the state, but certainly a team that has made a name for themselves, not only around here, but on the national scale too, with Zaven Collins. We'll ask her about a potential high draft pick for the Golden Hurricane too. We're having a great time out here at H&H Shooting Sports today, one of my favorite spots. Visit them online, hhshootingsports.com. But they've got some great deals going on, not only today for Black Friday, but it's going on all weekend long. Saturday and Sunday starts 10 o'clock every morning, 25% off everything from Oakley, 20% off all Browning knives, hats, flashlights, and a lot of the other accessories, too, and some plenty of other great deals, guys. Whatever you need for the outdoors, it's out here. And one of the added benefits you can get from coming out here, you get to eat at the 4U Cafe. They have everything that you want. Some great chili cheese fries, Frito chili pie too. They've got the gourmet grilled cheese that I've had that's awesome. Grilled chicken wraps, salads, stuff for the kids, whatever you want out here at the 4U Cafe at H&H Shooting Sports, South OKC off I-40 and Meridian. Come out here and see us today. And if you can't today, come out here this weekend and take advantage of some of these fantastic bargains. Texas on top of Iowa State, 20-10. More college football talk when we return. I'm Gideon Hamilton in for Mark and Dusty. You're listening to the Monsters of the Midday, 98.1 FM, WWLS Sports Animal.
Score for a Ford.
Sports Animal, Gideon Hamilton in with you today. Coming up on 1:30 on a Friday. Hope everybody had a really happy and healthy Thanksgiving this year. Thanks for sticking around, being tuned in with us today. 20-10, Texas leads Iowa State. We'll keep you up to speed on that game as we move forward throughout the afternoon. And that one should be over during Jim Show. Right now, we're going to keep it with college football and talk to our good friend Kelly Hines, who does an amazing job writing for Tulsa Sports for the Tulsa World. Kelly, thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, when we set this interview up, I said, hey, even if the likely or the usual happens and there's not a game, at least we'll still have plenty to talk about. And then it happened. How many postponements is this? And I'm sure you've been able to ask the question many times to many different participants. How does this mess with your preparation and psyche if you're a player or a coach?
Man, it is 7 scheduled disruptions for Tulsa, including there were a couple of cancellations before the season started, and then 5 games affected, as after the season began. Most of those have been postponements. There was a game against Arkansas State that was pushed back to another season, so kind of depends how you define cancellation or postponement. But a lot of games have been crossed off the schedule at this point. This is supposed to be the last week of the regular season, and there's still, 2 or 3 weeks left. I don't know if the game against Houston will get made up at this point. So very strange because, most of these have happened during the game week. So you start preparing for an opponent. You get to Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes even Thursday, and then the game is called off. I think what Tulsa's been able to do to overcome all of that and have the season that they're having now, having won five games in a row, to be undefeated in the American, sitting at 5-1 overall. I think that's just incredibly impressive. Yeah. Because it definitely could have gone the other way.
I completely agree with you, and one of the things that makes this season fun is that there's a lot of talent on this team, and we talked about it prior to the season, and you've seen that materialize despite some really big injuries that that the team unfortunately suffered just prior to the season and throughout the season. I'll ask you about Zaven Collins a little bit later on. We know they have talent out wide and some things like that, but what's your read on how good this team is? Because depending on when you watch them, let's talk about the East Carolina game earlier this season where, East Carolina is certainly not one of the powerhouses of the conference. Tulsa has to go down to the wire to win. Then they look really good against UCF, and I understand the Tulane game with the musical chairs for quarterback. It's interesting to see this team on a weekly basis because they will go through stretches in games where they don't look like the team that we know they are, and somehow they still find a way to make it all work out in the end. It's really, they've had some games where they've had magic at the end, Kelly, like the Tulane game, and then they've had games where they've just looked really, really good, like against Central Florida. What's this journey been like for this team covering them this year?
It has been a very wild ride. all of the comebacks, you know, four of the five wins have been comebacks from being down double digits. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Certainly a better team in the fourth quarter than in the first quarter. I think a lot of that has just been because of the disruptions. The offense has been very much, just a real struggle to get into rhythm. And then, you know, they go as many as 3 weeks between games. And then the first quarter, the offense just has really struggled. And then, you know, you kind of see Zach Smith especially, get into a rhythm, move the ball down the field, and then they kind of turn a corner on offense. And the defense has been exceptional all the way through, despite playing some really good offenses, Oklahoma State, UCF, SMU. I think that it's just been, a challenge to play a complete game. And then, you know, more than anything, just being extremely resilient to be down 21-0 against SMU, you know, early in the second quarter and to be able to come back and win that game. I think this is Philip Montgomery's most complete team. I just think some of it has been not being able to put a complete game together because they're not playing on a weekly basis.
Gotcha. Kelly Hines is our guest, does a great job covering Tulsa Golden Hurricane football for the Tulsa World. So this previous game against Tulane, you have Zach Smith get injured. You have Seth Boomer come in relief, fairly ineffective before he gets injured as well. And then this David Brin thing is like out of a movie with the pass at the end of the game. What was that moment like? Obviously with the exclamation point with Zaven Collins and the interception return, but that had to be something that every kid dreams of.
Yeah, and honestly, if that had been a movie, it would have seemed too improbable. You know, it would have been like, well, that would never happen. I mean, fourth and 15 to score a touchdown on that play. 6 seconds left and scoring a Hail Mary. I mean, there were so many moments in that game, and that's with the third string quarterback. And, you know, Phil Montgomery said, well, you know, the second and third quarterbacks, there's really not that much difference between them, but you still put him out third. So, for Davis Brin to be able to do that, he's a really good quarterback. And I think, you know, next season we'll be able to see really what he can do. But, and maybe even, you know, who knows what the rest of this season, but, you know, his ability, the passes that he made, I don't think were like just completely shocking that he made those throws, having seen him in practice. But the poise to do it in those moments when the game's on the line, that was just incredible. And the receivers have been, you know, inconsistent at times. And then to come through in the fourth quarter was just incredible. And obviously what Zaven Collins did, that was Zaven doing what Zaven does. And that was that play, Justin Wright, one of the other linebackers, was able to get pressure on the quarterback, and it led to that interception. And for Zaven being, 6'4", 265 pounds, to outrun everybody to score, 96-yard pick six, that was just crazy. I mean, it just seemed so unlikely, every single one of those plays. And then to put it all together like that was just incredible.
No, it was one of the more fun games of the entire year, and Tulsa's been involved in a few of these here now. I remember I tell everybody the story prior to the OSU-Tulsa game. We had your colleague Bill Haston on, and this is a season that everyone is really excited about with Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard coming back for Oklahoma State and a lot of other interesting some guys that are going to play in the NFL from that defense that Cowboys fans were really intrigued to see. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. The best player on this field today is going to be number 23 for Tulsa. His name is Zaven Collins from Hominy. And he was right. Can you quantify how good this guy is and how transformative he's been in terms of Tulsa's chances of staying in these games this year, Kelly?
You know what's crazy is it took me about 4,000 words to write a feature on him that will be in Sunday's Tulsa World. I mean, it's difficult to really put into words how incredible his journey has been to be a kid from Hominy, Oklahoma, who didn't have any other FBS offers, and that one from Tulsa seemed even unlikely until it happened. So, he had a partial offer to play at UCO as a defensive end. And wow. He really felt like he had a chance to play Division I football, but nobody was giving him that opportunity. He went to 12 camps before his senior year and just, really, schools that weren't interested in him, they just let him come to the camp. And, he didn't do enough, I guess, to get really noticed because they weren't sure how to use him being a quarterback and a safety in high school. So what he's been able to do, Tulsa was very high on him since the day he stepped on campus. But he, spent a redshirt season learning the linebacker position because he'd never played it. And, the second game of the 2018 season, the guy in front of him goes down with an injury, and Zaven has started every game since then. And, had a freshman All-America season built on that last year. And then coming to this year, he got bigger, stronger, and still, managed to very fast. He reached 21 yeah. miles per hour on that 96 yard pick six, which is incredible for someone of his size. So now he's being mentioned as obviously he's an All-America candidate. I think he's up for some national defensive player of the year awards. He's even being mentioned as a Heisman dark horse. But what he's able to do for Tulsa, he has so much versatility. They can use him in every possible way. I mean, he's a weak side linebacker, but they can use him mm-hmm. as an edge rusher. They can drop him back in coverage. For him to have 4 interceptions in 6 games as a weak side linebacker, that's crazy. He has been such a huge part of what this team has been able to accomplish, and could not ask for a better kid to be in that situation, receiving a lot of publicity. So he's just, a part of what has been just a crazy season.
We'll definitely look forward to that piece. When did you say that was going to be online and in the physical paper? Kelly, is it going to be Saturday, Sunday this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be online Saturday and then Sunday
okay.
paper.
Okay, awesome. Last question for you here. Does Tulsa have anything for Cincinnati, or is Cincy just kind of in their own world here?
I would say that, Cincinnati seems to be a step above everybody else and, the group of five. And if anyone was going to crash the party, I think that Cincinnati would have that opportunity. But I have learned after all of these weeks of seeing it, you can never count Tulsa out, even if they're down, by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I mean, anything can happen. So yeah. With that, the regular season game being played at Tulsa, I think that's going to be an interesting game to watch. And then, those two teams probably meeting a week later in the conference championship, which would mm-hmm. most likely be at Cincinnati. So 2 games back to back, probably the same team. You never know.
Yeah. No, you definitely never know with this team. It's been a magical run for Tulsa so far, and Kelly, you've been doing a great job keeping all of us informed. A couple of these games have been on unconventional days we've been able to watch, but a lot of times we're covering some other stuff, so you're kind of our eyes and ears up there while those games are going on. You've done a phenomenal job covering this team this year. We certainly appreciate that. Hopefully we're able to catch up with you somewhere on down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. That's Kelly Hines there from the Tulsa World. Did your knees get weak, Ravis, when you heard Zaven Collins' partial offer to UCO? I mean, can you believe that? And there, you know, college football is full of stories like this, and some of these kids end up going to the NFL, like Zaven will. But that's that just goes to show you how belief in yourself, if you truly know what you can do and what you're capable of through hard work, that's what being an athlete and what having faith in yourself is all about.
It's a great lesson for anybody out there, you know, who is very confident in their own ability and may not be getting, you know, the accolades and may not be as heralded as you think you should be. That's a tremendous lesson right there, because I love watching him play. And I, yep. You know, Tulsa football is not usually appointment viewing for me, Gideon, but this year, you know, with his play, it really has been.
Yeah, and initially I was watching Tulsa because, you know, they had won a couple of games here and there. I saw that East Carolina game, and it was kind of a dud. They had to come from behind to win that game late. Yeah. But then they've had performances like against Central Florida that you look back now, against SMU where they played excellent football down the stretch, it's time to make a move no matter what the circumstances, even with their third quarterback in that Tulane game. Tulsa finds a way. So we'll see here in a couple of weeks if they can offer some resistance to Cincinnati. I just like everybody else, I doubt it. But some things happen, and there are teams that seem like they're a team of destiny, and the way things that have fallen into place sometimes for Tulsa, you sort of wonder. Again, Cincinnati is going to be a mega favorite in that one, but I'll be watching. That's for sure. Okay, coming up next, an opportunity to finish off here by taking a look at the weekend that will be in the NFL, some other stuff that's going to happen this weekend as well in college football and college basketball. So a lot to go. Having a great time out here at H&H Shooting Sports. It is Black Friday, but it's also Black Saturday and Sunday. We've got some great deals going on all weekend long. They're open at 10 o'clock each day. Come out here, get a great meal at the 4U Cafe. They do catering, too, so be sure to ask them about that for your next event. But big deals, 25% off everything from Oakley, 20% off all Browning knives, hats, flashlights, and other accessories. Great brands, great stuff in stock here at H&H Shooting Sports. Big-time Christmas gift destination out here at H&H. South OKC off I-40 and Meridian. I'm Gideon Hamilton. You're listening to 98.1 FM WWLS, the Sports Animal.
Check out the Sports Animal.
H&H Shooting Sports. 4U Cafe in full effect. Those guys are doing a fantastic job. Louie's having what looks like a delicious hot dog and fries right now. They make some great food out here at the 4U, and you can find some great deals, too, for Black Friday weekend. Yeah, their deals not only going on today, but Saturday and Sunday as well. 25% off of Oakley stuff, and then 20% off all Browning knives, hats, flashlights, and some of their other Browning accessories. Great deals out here. Everything you need for the outdoors, your gear, you know, gloves for the winter, stuff like that. In addition to those deals on guns, you know, you're always going to get out here. Check out the range too. This place is a lot of fun for the entire family. H&H Shooting Sports. Matt Ravis is back in studio, and Matt has requested that I go to him at this time to give you a little bit more color, since I can't see the Texas-Iowa State game. So here with a little bit more flavor in that game between the Longhorns and the Cyclones is Matt Ravis. Matt, what's going on in the game?
I like that. I like the flavor. Well, Tom Herman saw the fake punt yesterday from Mike McCarthy and thought that looked so good that he would try out one of his own. They were like midfield. The play didn't look nearly as bad, but that play didn't work out either. So I would say he gets the ball back and immediately completed one to Charlie Kolar, the Norman product. But then they stall out there and settle for a field goal. So here's where we are at. It is 20-16 Texas with about 14:45 remaining in the game.
Still anybody's ball game, Matt.
Very much so. Yeah, Texas just returned the kickoff here, and they will get a chance to try to extend their lead a little bit over Iowa State.
Yeah, Ellinger, 10-16, 206, and a touchdown. Brock Purdy, 21-32, 258, and a score.
I've got some breaking news, and this is literally breaking as of right now. Sounds like the NFL is tentatively moving Steelers-Ravens from Sunday night to Tuesday night.
That is going to be temporary. They should not play that game. the game must be moved. The game must be postponed to a later date or canceled.
Yeah, that's. I think that's ultimately.
You want them to go ahead and play, don't you? Well, you want them to go ahead and play?
No, no, I haven't. I haven't even really given my opinion on it really at all. Okay. I think the
well,
NFL.
Let's hear it.
The NFL is going to try to play whatsoever. No, I don't. I mean, I don't think that they should play. Probably. If it's going to be that big of a deal, what is moving it 2 days going to help?
2 days. They got 12 people on the team.
Exactly.
That have COVID.
Two days isn't going to fix that mess. So
yeah.
And I know you open up a whole can of worms because the NFL has this thing now where if any game gets canceled, automatically there's, what, one more team in each conference allowed into the playoffs? I think 8 teams now from each conference. So now you've got half the teams in the NFL in the playoffs. It just opens up a whole can of worms if this game doesn't go
How
on.
Are they even
so
gonna,
they're going to
try.
How
are they even going to do a bracket if 9 or 10 teams are in the postseason?
Oh, I don't know. And there's going to be some teams that don't deserve to be there. And remember, the playoffs are already expanded this year. With an additional
right.
team in each conference, anyway,
mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting. They're going to kick this as far down as they can, and if it gets to the point where they have to postpone it, they will. But I think they're just trying to kick the can as far down the road as they can.
College basketball, West Virginia in some trouble against Western Kentucky. That one in the second half, the number 15 ranked Mountaineers down by 10. Texas Tech all over Sam Houston, 34-13. That one about 3 minutes left to go in the first, and then nearing halftime, Kansas and St. Joe's locked in a tight one, 44-36. Jayhawks on top. They were trailing a little bit earlier today. Top 4 team, Virginia lost to San Francisco, 61-60. Number 1 team in the country, Gonzaga defeated at Auburn, 90-67. You got to love this time of the year because you actually have some sports to talk about during the day. It's not all previews and recitations from earlier on. So Matt mentioned 20-16 Texas. We're on for another 10 minutes here before we hand the baton to Jim. Be sure to stay listening during the day. It's WWLS, the Sports Animal, to get the final there and how it affects Oklahoma and, to a lesser degree, Oklahoma State with their chances. Interesting show today, finding out during our 3 hours on the show, and this was mentioned by Jason Kersey a little bit earlier on, but I think we've been able to hammer this down, Matt, that even if Oklahoma were to miss a game, as long as they're within one game played of everybody else, that the two lost teams are going to be eligible for a conference title. And so I had some OU fans talking to me on Wednesday, worried that, you know, somebody was going to be able to work their way back in if they were to win out, and Oklahoma would be on the outside looking in just because they missed a game. And that still hasn't happened, by the way. It's something that is possible now that teams are running out of that open date on the 12th. That could happen to Texas. It could happen to Iowa. We don't know. So it looks like, though, that that's going to be the way that the Big 12 will solve things. Even a 6-2 team could get in to the Big 12 championship game over a 7-2 team. They're still going to go head-to-head if everybody is within one game played. Now, if you drop a couple, which I really don't see happening unless one is due to an outbreak with your school and the other one is due to an outbreak in another school, despite what's going on in this country right now, I still view that as unlikely, but it's possible enough for us to at least pose it right now so our head's not spinning once we get to, you know, a situation like this occurring.
Too late. My head's already spinning.
Okay, very good. Now, one thing that I that does involve you specifically is the story of Sarah Fuller for Vanderbilt. And for people that don't know this story, Sarah Fuller is a player on the Vanderbilt soccer team, and the Commodores are having some trouble in their kicking game this year. And so you're going to bring her on, and she'll be the place kicker, and she'll be the goalie. And I'm not reading the statement verbatim. I'm just paraphrasing what they said. It basically to the effect of, we don't care what Matt Ravis says. She's good enough to play, so she's going to play.
I think it's pretty cool. To get there. It's the first time in Power 5 history, right? First time at Power
yes.
5 history.
Yeah, that a woman is going to play in a Power 5 football game. Although, I mean, the Colorado, and this is the famous incident with Gary Barnett, that they had a female a place kicker for extra points, and there was a big brouhaha over Gary's comments there. But this is going to be this will be interesting, and it'll certainly be an attention grabber for Vanderbilt's football team, which outside of Jay Cutler has been fairly irrelevant over the last few decades.
Vanderbilt's got a lot of airtime on our station the past week or so because, you know, we've been talking about Oklahoma State's recruiting rankings and all that, and Vanderbilt currently ahead of the Cowboys. And that's, I mean, it's a difficult school to get into academically.
Yeah.
The Ultimate and I have talked about that. No, that's cool. You said she's the goalkeeper for the soccer team?
That's what you told me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that she
and you said that should disqualify her.
No, I said
playing.
I said I was surprised because you don't think of a goalkeeper's, you know, number one skill set being kicking the ball. Usually it's the you got to have the good hands, but there, you made a great point, Gideon, which is that you got to, you know, you got to clear the ball out to midfield.
Yeah, they kick the ball the longest.
That's
okay,
right.
The goalkeeper, they'll clear the ball. They'll kick the ball down the field, goal kicks, whatever. But yeah, those things go a long way. As you said, during our heated conversation during the break, that those kicks are not always the most accurate. They have to have some kind of sense of direction, though, to get the play started. It's not like they just fire it down there. So I will be, it's not like I'm going to watch them play or anything, but I'll be interested to see the highlights if anything crazy happens.
Yeah, no, should be. So she just plays kicking, not kicking field goals.
Is she not kicking field goals?
I just assume that maybe she was doing kickoffs. And I don't even think it's for certain that she's going to play. But she did tweet earlier, you know, that she's making history and all that.
To be, I don't know. We'll read a little bit more here. I'd love it if she played. Who are they playing this weekend?
Vanderbilt. That's a good question.
It shows you how top
Look,
of mind
this
they
is
are.
The,
I
like
think
I said,
it's Missouri.
This is the the most attention that Vanderbilt.
They're
0-7.
They're 0-7 this year. They are not going to win a game this year. They go to Missouri this weekend.
We all know why they're in the SEC, and that's to bring up the collective GPA.
that is true. Let's see here. Iowa State and Texas Longhorns still up 20-16. This one with 10 minutes left to go. In the fourth quarter, nice game so far for Sam Ellinger. Breece Hall, who a lot of people think is one of the better running backs in the entire country, has been relatively contained so far today. 14 carries for 54 yards. Big day for Charlie Kolar. 5 catches, 114. Brennan Eagles also 5 catches for 142. Is Texas on the move here? Yes, they are. They're around the red zone, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Sam Ellinger has just done such a good job of keeping this drive alive. You fans know this from the Red River game. You know, those little passing plays where the receivers will get downfield and everybody's covered and you're thinking, okay, this is a play we've got contained, and then he tucks it and runs for another 5-6 yards. That's basically been the drive.
Yeah, that has frustrated many teams that have taken on Texas. Any other interesting college football games this weekend? I'm about to give my educated guess here in just a little bit, but anything stand out to you? Mostly duds this weekend, which that can open the door for some unthinkable upsets, but I don't really see the possibility of anything happening right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Egg Bowl, I believe, is tomorrow, so that's always interesting rivalry game. But yeah, no, kind of a dud slate of games. You do have Notre Dame taking on North Carolina, who's ranked 25th.
Yeah. Educated guess. I like Texas. One of the lines that stood out to me, especially when something is on the line, I like Texas A&M. Now, this is over 2 touchdowns that I'm seeing against LSU and a capable LSU offense, but I still like Texas A&M big in this game. It's 14.5 is the line that I'm seeing, and they've been pretty solid ever since the Alabama loss. Obviously, you take down Florida, who's going to be a top-10 team at the end of the season. And when they had an opportunity against a team that they truly overmatched, South Carolina, they were able to put up big numbers. So something tells me that that's going to happen again this weekend. So I like that A&M LSU line. I'm always curious about the total in a North Carolina game just because their defense is so bad and that North Carolina is still going to give up a couple of touchdowns to them. them, but 70 might be a little high. I think that's going over, but I wouldn't make that my educated guess. Also, I like Oregon at Oregon State. I think there's a pretty big discrepancy between those two teams. So there's a game where this is a weekend where, because these games are so bad, you've got a lot of bigger lines to deal with, and sometimes that's kind of dangerous. There's a lot of minefields out there, especially in college football, that we're talking about. You know, Northwestern, can they win by 2 touchdowns over Michigan State? Of course they should. Michigan State's terrible, and Northwestern's decent, but you look at the games that Northwestern's played this year, almost every single one of them have been close within a touchdown, so I don't know if, you know, you can strap a rocket to their back. Based on Wisconsin, they play with a lot more confidence and win by more. Those are just really, really tough spots. But, Matt, it should be a fantastic weekend. I know you're sticking around, but we got a lot of stuff to keep tabs on this weekend. Appreciate all your help for a great week filling in for Mark and Dusty this week. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been fun, man. Quick update here. Let me give you on the Texas-Iowa State game. Texas got stopped on fourth down, so Iowa State gets the ball back with the chance to go up on the Longhorns. Like 9 minutes left in the game.
All right, that one certainly is going to go down to the wire here. Iowa State hoping to maintain their spot atop the Big 12 standings. Want to thank Louie Elder, everybody out here at H&H Shooting Sports, always so hospitable for us, the 4U Cafe. Great to be out here again. This will be a great place to get some of your Christmas shopping done this weekend. Take advantage of some of their great deals here, South OKC, off I-40 and Meridian. The ultimate Jim Traber is coming your way next. He'll be able to tell you what happens at the end of that Iowa State and Texas game. Also pass along any developments that are going on with the Steelers and Ravens game. We'll get his thoughts on the at least temporary 2-day postponement of that game and some of the other stories that are swirling around college football right now. So looking forward to that. I want to thank my great guests today, Marshall Scott, Joe Bettner, and Kelly Hines. For everybody at the Sports Animal, I'm Gideon Hamilton. Thanks for a great week here filling in for Mark and Dusty. The Monsters will be back next week. Until then, everyone, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sports Animal Flashback.